You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another Bald Move Pulp podcast. And this is the kickoff, the absolute start of the Bald Move Christmas season. The yo, ho, 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 first rum Bald Move Christmas, Bald Movie Christmas. It's an unwieldy title. It's hard to fit on a greeting card, it turns out, actually, too. Mm-hmm. This is a crazy idea. The reason it's called this is, first of all, we're planning our Christmas this year, and like, gosh, what are we going to do? And we have a couple of themes in our folder, and we saw that David Harbour was doing a Die Hard-style Santa Claus movie, and we're like, huh, what if we did a first-run movie? What if there's enough? And it turns out there's not enough movies coming out about Christmas that we could just see a bunch of theater films. But thanks to Netflix and HBO Max, plenty of Christmas content to cover. Everything's new to this year. This movie is new to this night. It's David Harbour, Violent Night. We're going to be, if this is your first Christmas celebration with us, we are going to be drinking rum throughout the evening.
That's how I know this is our first, the kickoff of our Christmas, because my rum has a one on it.
It has a one on it.
Yeah.
This has been a Christmas tradition for a long time. We get an advent calendar of booze. This year we've got rum for some crazy reason. There's the first rum, the yo ho ho ho. And we're going to be drinking three drams podcast / live stream all December long, which makes things extra fun. Before we get just quick thumbs up, thumbs down. Did you love this movie or did you hate this movie?
Thumbs up. Definite thumbs up.
Yes.
I really enjoyed the movie. It it lives up to its name, but we'll talk about that here in a moment.
I love, 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 love this movie. I'm going to gush about it. I'm going to clown on people that hate it. But first, let's get to this rum. The first rum is Angostura.
Sure.
Caribbean rum, 1919. Is there any impacts to 1899? Does this influence your 1899 theories?
Oh, this is 20 years later. Yeah, definitely.
Suspicious.
It's just somebody's rum drunk dream. Yeah, that's what it is.
It's 40% alcohol. I'm holding this up the camera. It's got a medium complexion, I'd say.
Mm.
Not the butteriest butterscotch I've ever seen or caramel.
Wait till you get that nose feel, though.
It does smell really good.
That nose feel is good.
All right, bottoms up. Well, yeah. Sip it up. Whatever.
They always stack the top of the deck here. I've noticed
that's what
that.
They always want to impress with number one. Mm-hmm. Number two or three will be a real shitter, guaranteed. But yeah. Number one, they're going to impress right out of the box. Here we go. Uh-huh.
Tell your friends.
Masters of Malt. 2/3 of the shit is excellent, but they got to throw some shitters in there. Because number one, people's flavors are different. Taste flavor profiles are different. And number two, getting a lot of rum for as low a price as they can get.
All right, the nose feel is better than the mouth feel in this one. This has some burn to it.
It's got some burn to it and vanilla. Is there a bean, a whole fucking bean in this thing? Because there is strong vanilla notes.
Here's the beautiful thing that I decided to do tonight. I've got my rum.
You're not going to mix it with Coke, are you?
And I've got an eggnog chaser.
Ah,
so
damn,
I'm not gonna mix them because I want the pure rum experience, but I do like the chaser.
I got eggnog in the fridge chilling. I bought it specifically for lunch tomorrow. Why did I not think to bring it up here tonight?
Could have chased it. Yeah,
learned so much from you, Jim. So what are we gonna put on our vision? Because we also we're keeping a spreadsheet. I'll probably post it on the Bald Move Christmas site at christmas.baldmove.com. What do you want to say for your review? A whole bean's worth of vanilla. You said harsh or hot?
Yeah, it's got a little bit. It's pitched some heat. at the end, the alcohol flavor is coming through. Surprisingly strong for rum.
Okay. Anything else we want to say? Kind of a watery yellow color.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I want to say it smells better than it looks or tastes. How about that?
Smells better than looks or tastes. That's Jim's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jim.
It's just my opinion, man.
I think it's good. It's not my favorite rum. That's the problem, though. It's like, why would you not buy your favorite rums?
Right.
I guess that this would be an interesting alternative, especially if you really like vanilla. But yeah, I mean, it's a shame. It's a perfectly good rum. It's not going to be probably on my shelf. It's a perfectly good rum, especially if you like vanilla. I kind of get some custard notes in it, actually. It's been sitting on my tongue for a while. Okay, Violent Night. What did you think in detail? Well, and let's just start the conversation. What were you expecting out of this movie, and what does this movie give you?
It gave me eggnog. That's one thing. I was expecting
hardest beverages to podcast through, I'd imagine.
It's true. My mouth is glued shut at this point.
The Elmer's glue in your mouth.
This was a huge mistake. Huge mistake.
The alcohol's clotting. You got a mouthful of cottage cheese. Now tell me your detailed opinion on this movie.
Like I said, super enjoyable. It absolutely lives up to its name, Violent Night. It is very violent. Like, way more violent than I expected.
John Wick levels of violence.
Yeah, over the top stuff, like fountains of blood and just limbs coming off and all kinds of horrible things happening to people. A lot of facial trauma. Was not a fan of the facial trauma. I'm really not a fan of it. I don't know why it makes me cringe so much. You can impale somebody by the crotch. You can tear someone's fingernails out. You can crack their bones. And I'm always going to be more affected by the face trauma.
It's because you're pretty, Jim. That must be it.
Yeah. Psychologically,
I would much rather be sledgehammered in the face than my balls. There was some threatened ball trauma
really?
On this that made Jeez. Me think I might pass out if it comes to pass.
Yeah. that was pretty good, but it is very violent. It has surprising ways to bring this movie together with like the spirit of Christmas at the end.
Yeah.
Like I kind of didn't see. Yeah, because that's Christmas movies, right? They do that. They will have like, oh, you know, this family's down on their luck or something. And over the course of the movie, they all come together and they find the true spirit of Christmas. This movie does that, too, but in very unexpected ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the bottom line, brothers and sisters in Christmas. There is a Rotten Tomato number out there at 65%. That is a fucking crime. That is the Grinch trying to steal this movie's thunder. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with these people. If you are a Bald Move fan in your heart and your heart knows how to find Christmas, I can't imagine you're not going to have an excellent time with this movie. In the first 5 or 10 minutes, I thought it's like, oh, this might be a little bit more cynical than I was expecting. But it's just, I'm like, I just hope that I see David Harbour play a pretty good Santa Claus and he gets to kick some ass. And expectations exceeded. This is like, I think this is going to be an instant holiday classic. Like, this is going to go right on the shelf next to Die Hard. It's going to go right on the shelf next to Home Alone. It's got the DNA of both of those movies. And then they mix in some fucking John Wick, you know? And it's just amazing. David Harbour is an excellent Santa Claus. They expand the Santa Claus mythos in like really, I think, a satisfying and adult ways. I was surprisingly moved by a couple scenes. I don't know if you can relate to this because like I can get choked up in a bunch of different ways. You know, it's like the sad things, obviously, that kind of stuff. But I also have like a gear where, and the only person I've ever heard talk about this is like Kevin Smith. Like, if something is excessively wholesome, I get teary. Like, yeah. Kevin Smith is talking about, like, the end of Batman, The Bold and the Brave, which is kind of like a more kid show Batman. When they were signing off, he was doing an interview with, who's that guy? Is Bader, is the voice of Batman.
Oh, Dietrich Bader. Yeah.
Dietrich Bader. He's interviewing that guy, and he goes, one thing I really appreciated about the way he signed off Batman Brave and the Bold is at the very end, you broke the fourth wall and turned right to the thing and said, you know, and because you know, the Batman's wrapping up his adventure. He's never going to be on air again. He's like, and all you kids out there, just know that wherever there's injustice or evil, I'll be there with the hammers of justice to fight. And he's like, yeah, I really appreciate mm-hmm. that, like, for little kid. And he got teared up as he said it. And I'm like, I was, I had a kid, like a 6-year-old kid, and we were watching Brave and the Bold, and that hit me in the exact same way. It's like, I'm glad Batman said goodbye to the kids. I'm getting kind of choked up about it now. That wholesome, yeah. That kind of wholesome gear, this movie gets to a couple places. Like, when a child heartfeltly believes in Santa Claus, and then, like, Santa Claus being real and fighting for people, it made my heart swell up 3 times its normal size in a couple of places in the movie. Did not think it would do that.
I thought this was going to be, you know, schlocky,
like, just very cynical, violent, very dark. And it's all those things, but it does mm-hmm. have it's got what I think is the requirement to take it to that next level, which is the heart.
For me, like, inspirational, like, highly inspirational moments can do yeah. that too.
So heroic.
That's kind of akin to the wholesome stuff, right? Usually those wholesome moments are inspirational as well, but yeah, very, very heroic, very like, this is what things should be like.
Santa Claus should be real, and even on, because, like, that's the other thing is, like, I don't know, like, it's like the movie's thesis is, like, the world is kind of shitty right now, and it's getting to Santa Claus. Santa Claus, like, mm-hmm. might be thinking of hanging it up. What could possibly inspire him to keep going? And the movie sets this up. This isn't a spoiler. This is, like, literally the first 5 minutes of the movie, which is brilliant. Such a great introduction. Mm-hmm. And the movie kind of answers that. The other thing I was worried about is, like, all the good parts would be in the trailer. That is totally not true.
Yeah.
They are endlessly creative in the ways that Santa Claus gets to kick ass in this movie. It's so good.
So if I want to play Satan's advocate here.
Oh, you're going to be Krampus?
Krampus? If I'm going to play Krampus' advocate, I'm going to say, a couple of the scenes that were really creative were also very dark, and I wanted those to be brighter. They were almost silhouetted, and I wanted to see those in more detail. I think there are some cliches that are, like, too cliched for my tastes. And I know, look, this is a Christmas movie. The spirit of Christmas stuff is going to be in there. It's not that I have a problem with. It's some of the specifics, and maybe we could talk about them when we get to the spoiler section, but I think there's a cliched moment or two. None of that spoils the movie as a whole. Like, yeah. If I were Rotten Tomatoes, thumbs up, thumbs down, I'm going thumbs up, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. I might in the spoiler section, when we get into the club only section, I might read some snippets from these Rotten Tomatoes reviews, because, like, these just seem like miserable fucking people. Good Lord.
Or maybe they are so wholesome and they love Christmas so much that it's sullied. That's by this possible. Violent bullshit.
That's possible. Yeah. But I feel like if they were really that, they're really good people in their hearts, it'd be more of like, well, I don't get it, but you guys have fun, instead of like, oh, sure. This is the most. it'll probably be a good time. And we'll be taking 2 more shots of rum. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Because, like I said, I don't want to spoil anything about this film, because I think the trailer's an excellent job of, like, kind of letting you know what you're in for. But really not, yeah, like, I think it'd be really easy to underestimate this movie going in. And I kind of got worried because I saw this advanced 65%, and I'm like, oh, man, I was hoping for, like, 80.
I kind of got worried when I walked in the theater and we were literally the first ones there 5 minutes before it started. And 2 other people walked in. I think 3 other groups total walked in, one of which was a single person, the other of which was you and Cecily. And then there was one other like couple in there or something.
Yeah.
Nobody was in there, but we saw the 5 o'clock PM
we
showing.
We did see the five, because I was like, I gasped when I saw how few people were there. I'm like, oh, we are at an early show. But yeah.
Maybe that'll save it. But it seemed like nobody was really attending this.
I just don't know why you wouldn't be in the mood to see. I guess that's the other thing is if like you're not in the mood to see this for Christmas.
It's also kind of
like,
early. Like,
it's kind of, nah, I don't know, man. It's after Thanksgiving. I think this is like, maybe they should have released it the week before Thanksgiving or something.
I think so. I don't know. Yeah, I'm barely feeling Christmas yet. Like, this is the first time that I'm starting to feel like, oh, it's Christmas time.
Oh, I felt Christmas
like I said,
pretty
Christmas time
year.
Starts after Thanksgiving. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. We had this debate, but
yeah. I did too. I waited. I didn't really do anything Christmassy until after Thanksgiving, but goddamn, oh, Black okay. Friday was red and green in this house.
Yeah. I haven't put up my lights yet. Maybe that's why it doesn't feel like Christmas.
Ah, see, you no got tree. It. You got it. You got it's like a garden, Jim.
This weekend,
if you want to reap a Christmas harvest, you got to put those seeds in. You got to string up those lights. You got to get that tree up. You have a tree up, Jim?
Not yet. I'm gonna.
Oh my!
This weekend,
are your stockings hung?
I don't. Here, what? this sweater is the only thing that's hanging up for Christmas so far.
Well,
this is
yeah.
as Christmas as it gets. And
yeah,
David Harbour coming
you gotta,
after me.
You gotta get on that. Yeah, like I said, there's so much more I want to say about this movie and how brilliant I think it is. But the other thing we do on first run movies in this case, is we talk about trailers.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You've been listening to quite a few Bald Move podcasts now, but you're not in the club? Whoo boy, you are missing out.
Not only are all of our premium club podcast feeds completely ad-free, but we have lots of other great content exclusively for people in the club.
There's a weekly lunch with Jim and Aaron where we chat with fans about anything and everything from TV and films, food, fun, life advice, and more.
But there's also Off the Clock, our premium podcast where we talk about all the shows we don't have time for on our public feeds.
Plus, you get access to our full spoiler-filled first-run movie reviews of our newly released films.
Don't forget Instant Take and Talk podcast, where we give our hot takes and discuss television shows with our fans live and immediately after the episode airs.
With mega shows like House of the Dragon coming this summer, we're going to have lots to talk about.
Not to mention access to our fun and friendly community of club members, with exclusive Discord channels and a dedicated forum. It's one of the best places on the internet to hang out and chat about pop culture.
Bottom line, you're helping two regular type guys in the Midwest make the content you like to listen to, which some would say is rewarding to itself.
Help keep the lights on and the bits flowing at Bald Move.
And get some awesome content for yourself. Head to support.baldmove.com to join the club today.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for podcasts that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love. So we're going to do that. I have not seen this trailer, to my knowledge, missing.
Okay. Yeah, we are going to talk technically about trailers with an S, although there were literally only two I hadn't seen.
Yeah, there's a couple new ones. There are a couple red band trailers I want to talk about that were like updates, but because we, you know, you see a rated R movie, you get the Red Band trailers.
Well, that House Party one we already talked about.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But let's talk about Missing. Missing, the premise of Missing is the trailer really took me on a voyage, because I thought it's like, you know, this girl, her mom's going on vacation, and she's like, you know, leave location tracking on and do this and do that and all these instructions. And as soon as she goes, the girl's like, ah, party time. And she throws a big party. And you're thinking like, oh, it's going to be one of those classic teenage movies.
Yeah. Got to clean up before parents get home. It's
and then, you know,
because
then she's like
passed out
on the couch, and her phone goes off, and it's got the reminder picker in her up. And she's like, oh, my God. And then she gets there and her mom's just not there. Mm-hmm. And her mom went to some foreign country that's police are not super helpful.
Colombia?
Was it Colombia? And also, it's Colombia. Sometimes people go disappearing there, and the FBI can't help. And all. So she starts like sleuthing it using internet tools. I thought this was interesting that she's like, you know, Mechanical Turking some guy to run to a hotel and request security footage.
Yeah, TaskRabbit.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Like he's hacking into her parents' email and reading their messages.
Logging into Upwork and hiring a private eye from Bogota.
I wonder if there are PIs on Upwork. Probably.
Oh, damn.
Man, if not, I'm going to start that
Chinatown
category.
Yeah, you and me. Let's do. Mm-hmm. Can we get a Chinatown digital Upwork private eye service going? I don't know that I feel like maybe that this trailer gives away too much.
Yeah, it should have ended second half. I was like, oh, okay, you could have stopped there. I was already interested.
Yeah,
I don't need to know everything else, but
yeah, I don't need to know that there's a dastardly turn with this, that, and the other. But like, I don't. It seems like a really strong concept. It might be cool.
Yeah, I was like all the way out when it was like, oh, a party movie where they got to clean up
exactly.
before their parents get home,
like,
and then. I'm all the way in until they start showing me too much. And I'm like, have I seen this whole movie already? I don't.
Yeah. You want to. Yeah, man. Trailers are. I heard on one of the last reviews they did that the Red Letter Media guys are kind of out on trailers. They kind of refuse to watch them, try to avoid them at all costs. And I'm like,
so what do they do to determine what they're going to watch? Listen to word of mouth. Just say like,
I don't know, but they probably
Twitter
actually
polls?
Read like the True Hollywood Reporter or shit like that. So they're just like, yeah, they just
deadline.
Yeah, they just follow the log lines and all that stuff. I think it might be cool. Oh my God, our producer just verified that you can hire a private investigator on Upwork.
Yes, let's hire one for something. Can we hire one to do a completely fake job? Can we hire one to figure out if Jeff Bezos, how much money Jeff Bezos is making daily?
Probably. Sure. Why not? I think you need to meet the CPA for that. You said you had the trailer for House Party. Did we talk about this?
I thought so. Yeah. This is one where
two guys
like break into LeBron's house.
They don't break in. They're like installing his cable. And it turns out that.
Oh, are they? Okay.
I think so. They're like workers and he's not home, and they slowly realize it's LeBron James' house and that he's got like his calendar on his desk that says he's going to be gone for 2 weeks. So they're like, oh, let's throw a fucking.
Well, they need $10,000 for something. And they're like, well, shit, let's throw the party here. Let's get all his celebrity friends, which I guess they found his Rolodex or something.
Must
his phone.
Be, yeah. Looks like yeah. LeBron James just leaves his Wi-Fi wide open. You can just get on his tablets and you can smart all of his homes and.
Yep.
It might be funny. It's not going to be a bold movie, but it might be funny. I saw a new Babylon trailer. I don't want to talk a lot about it.
Is it like four scenes from it might be new?
I don't remember Tobey Maguire being such a creep.
Oh, I
or
do.
Or even Tobey Maguire. Really? Okay.
This is what Tobey Maguire was made to do. The Crispin Glover-esque roles is what Tobey Maguire was put on this earth for. He's not Spider-Man. He doesn't have the confidence. He doesn't have the swagger of a superhero. And I know, look, Spider-Man is not the most confident or swaggering superhero, but
yeah
Tobey Maguire should live to play creeps. He should live to play creeps.
I don't know, man.
I'm sorry, like Toby.
I feel like he's more of a Spider-Man than a creep, but you know.
I don't know. So I thought he was like kind of secretly not the best part of the last Spider-Man movie when they did all three Spider-Men. But I think he looks amazing in this. I really want to see it mostly because of him. And Margot
I mean, you
Robbie.
Might say he's
Come
not
on.
The best part, but is he the worst part when Garfield's right there?
Well, I don't have a history with Garfield is the thing.
Okay.
Like, I never saw those Spider-Man movies, so I don't know how bad they were.
Andrew Goffer actually had, I thought he had no notes on his performance as Spider-Man in this movie.
Yeah, he's good.
He's the Pierce Brosnan of Spider-Man. A potentially great Spider-Man saddled with the shitty Spider-Man scripts. That's Sony's fault, not his. Ant-Man and Wasp, we talked about that.
Quantumania.
It looks super fun. I'm super excited to see it. You're not, but you know what? We actually got a bunch of co-hosts kicking around Bald Move. I bet I could talk one of them into seeing it with me.
Sure. Yeah, I've never seen an Ant-Man movie, believe it or not.
Avatar, Watery Bowels. I know we've talked about this a lot.
Is that the subtitle? All right.
Yep.
Camera, and I'm like, really taking a turn.
This time I was watching, so I keep on vacillating because, like, I've been like, okay, I know this looks goofy as hell, but bet against James mm-hmm. Cameron. And then I'm mm-hmm. kind of like, I don't know. This looks goofy as hell. I was trying to watch this. It's like, okay, do I believe if a bunch of blue people could telepathically control blue whales that could breach out of the surface of the ocean, is that enough to take down fleets of, like, S.H.I.E.L.D.-style helicarriers that the humans have come back and forth with? And I don't think they can. I don't think all the blue whales in the world, like, but maybe if, like, if you could, like, get the entire planet to rise up against it all amassed at once, maybe that's what James Cameron's going. But, like, I don't know what kind of moral lesson.
People were like 9 feet tall.
I don't think so. I think that they're going to get stomped by the 14-foot mech warriors. I know, if, like, James Cameron's like, well, we just have to take our ponytails and interface with the planet Gaia, and we can stop anything that's evil. Like, I think we're going to lose, dude. I don't have a ponytail of any kind, let alone one that can interface with Gaia. So,
yeah, neither do I.
Megan, I'm pretty much in on Megan. That looks really good.
Looks real creepy.
We talked about it before. Mm-hmm. It's just Megan. I throw to Megan because it's the three. And then, oh, my God. Jim,
mm-hmm.
I know it's a grim place out there. A lot of people are unhappy in the state of the world. A lot of despair. A lot of people saying this is maybe some of the worst times we've had to live through. I don't know about all that. But we also live in the era where the movie Cocaine Bear is going to come to market. Did you follow this story? That this is loosely based on a real event of a drug plane that was about to get interdicted, I think, and they did the thing, or maybe they're just doing the Matthew McConaughey thing where they're just, like, tipping suitcases of coke out the windows as a matter of course. Either way, a black bear got into that cocaine, and this movie posits went on a fucking rampage bender, and I gotta say, I am really excited for Cocaine Bear.
Yeah, it has Kerry Russell in it. I love Kerry Russell. This might be Ray Liotta's final film. I'm not sure.
Oh, shit.
Because he died recently, like 6 months ago, maybe.
Right.
Not even 6 months. Yeah, so.
I forgot that he died. Because he is all about, like, a lot of people talked about that way with the Many Saints in Newark.
Mm-hmm.
But he snuck a cocaine bear in there.
Yeah, Alexis said he was in this when we were talking about it the other day, and I was like, what? This might be his final film. That's crazy. And it's so Ray Liotta to be saying, get me my fucking cocaine.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to go out on a movie, Cocaine Bear is probably the one for that man.
Yeah, like this. Like they kept on cutting the gangster saying, it's an apex predator on cocaine. And
So I swear this movie was talked about as if it was going to be a thing like 12 years ago.
I don't think the Cocaine Bear happened that long ago.
It didn't.
Okay.
But I want to say, so maybe it was just like 2015 or whatever. But I felt like I was still working a full-time job, which must have been before 2015.
Oh, no, you're right. This is based on a story that happened 40 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, I swear somebody was going to make this movie a long time ago, and we're
this
just
happened
now
in Georgia
it.
In 1985. Okay, yeah,
because I remember hearing all about this.
Well, I feel like that's the thing. It's like society had to degenerate to where it's at right now, to where you get entertainment like this.
I mean, you know,
this the greatest
is
generation.
Snakes on
they
a
didn't
plane,
whip,
right?
They didn't whip the Nazis' ass and come over and make Cocaine Bear. No, they're making like A Wonderful Life and things like that. You have to be a really rock bottom, dog eat dog, fuck you, pal type of society before you can get to something like Cocaine Bear.
What do you think about the title, Cocaine Bear?
No, zero notes. Zero notes. Pass this this public test. Yeah, no, we surveyed this with all the Aarons in the audience, and they were highly in favor. What do you want?
I mean, this feels so much like Snakes on a Plane, where everyone was like, Snakes on a Plane, fuck yeah, let's make it. Sam Jackson saying, get these motherfucking snakes off my motherfucking plane. That's what we want. And the movie comes out, and like nobody sees it, and everybody hates it who did see it because it was a shitty concept to begin with. That's what this feels like to me, but I don't know. Maybe it's better. Maybe it's more fun than Snakes on a Plane was.
That's the thing. And it's the same. That was the one bust option I had for Violent Night is like, what if it only the good parts are in the trailer? And what if it's just like one of those things where it's like, oh, it's a clever idea. Santa Claus being, you know, John McClane. Can they pull it off? Yeah, the Snakes on a Plane potential is real, especially wasn't there that movie poster on the wall?
Yes.
So
which
like,
scares me.
Yes, this might be like the same studio, the same directors. Yeah, I don't know. But like,
we'll see.
I will never be mad at this movie because it gave us this trailer, which gave me a lot of joy. And it's a perfect lead-in. It's the final thing I saw before Violent Night, and it was the perfect lead-in.
Wait, Matthew Reese is also in this? Oh, that's perfect. Matthew Reese and Kerry Russell joining forces once again. They were both in Americans. They were the
oh,
leads.
Yes, right. That Matthew Reese.
Wild.
Yeah, there's interesting. There's a lot of guy. Scott Seiss guy. He's like the IKEA guy that does all the TikToks and stuff. It feels like there's a couple movies where they are casting off of TikTok and Instagram, which I think is a fantastic idea. Like if you got people that are naturally funny and gifted actors and they're doing it for just essentially ha-has on. Grab them. Get them in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be really embarrassed if this guy actually has. There's no way he's got a established career. His IMD photo is an Instagram screenshot.
He doesn't have a TikTok Wikipedia screenshot. Page. So.
Oh, Talitha let us know that Carrie and Matthew Reese are real life partners. Did you know that?
Oh, business partners, I assume. I'm kidding.
Are we sure that they're not Chinese communist spies?
No.
I mean, it's kind of suspicious. Anything else we want to say about trailers, Jim, before we get to the good stuff, quote unquote?
I don't think so. I want to do the second shot of rum and then maybe we can sign off for spoilers because...
No. We're not going to give away another shot to the unwashed masses here.
I thought we teased because we're already in silly town.
We're paywalling the second shot.
okay.
Because there's a whole month of festivities
coming up. That's what people show
up
for.
Let me tell you what they show up
for. Slurp down a shot of rum, yeah.
They show up for us talking about David Harbour Violent Night. They show up for a two-hour long podcast about the new Lindsay Lohan Christmas rom-com Falling for Christmas. The movie's 90 minutes long. We went 2 hours. I'm predicting the future. It's Christmas magic, Jim. Don't question it.
I don't know how it works.
We've got Christmas Story Christmas, which is doing really well.
How long
tomatoes.
Is that
it
one?
Came
tell
out
me how long
week.
That podcast is.
That podcast is still
with your Christmas magic.
The Magic 8 Ball says ask again next week. We got that coming out. We got
coward.
So we got
that Magic 8 Ball is a fucking coward.
We got 3 drunken Christmas lunches. We're going to be open up the gifts from our listeners. We got 2 Christmas streams where we'll be exchanging Secret Santa gifts online and playing games and ranking stuff. There's so much Christmas fun and much more. support.baldmove.com to get the rest of this review and get in on all the Christmas cheer. support.baldmove.com. Let's talk spoilers.